All glories to the ascended devotees. All glories to the ascended devotees. All glories to to the Asama devotees.
Our glories to Sri Purush and Gauranga.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 11, Verse 9, Lord Krishna's entrance into Dwaraka.
Yahyam bhujaksa pasasara bhapavan. Kuram madhunavata siddhi dikshaya. Tatrapta koti pratimakshana bhavet. Ravim vinakshnor ivanas tavachuta. Yayam bhujaksha vasasara bhagavan. Kuru madhun vata siddhi dikshaya. Tatapta koti bhakti mokshana bhave. Ravi vinakshnori vanastava chuta. Jaksha Pasasara Bhagavan. Kuru Matun Vata Sri Jajikshaya. Tadakta Kati Padimakshana Bhade. Vinakshnor Ivanasta Chita. Yahi. Whenever. Ambuja Aksha. Oh, Lotus Eyed One. Apasasara. You go away.
You go away.
Oh. Oh.
Bhavan,
yourself,
Kurun,
descendants of King Kuru,
Madhun, the inhabitants of Mathura Vajrabhumi,
Va,
either,
Atha,
therefore, Suhiti Jikshaya,
for meeting them,
Tacha, at that time, Adhikoti,
millions of years,
Patima,
like,
Shana,
moments,
Bhavet,
becomes,
Ravim,
the sun,
Vina,
without,
Akshno,
of the eyes,
Eva,
like that,
Naha,
ours,
Dava,
your,
Achyuta,
O infallible one.
Translation.
O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, at that time our eyes become useless, as if bereft of sun. Purport. We are all proud of our material senses for making experiments to determine the existence of God, but we forget that our senses are not absolute by themselves. They can only act under certain conditions, for example, our eyes. As long as the sunshine is there, our eyes are useful to a certain extent, but in the absence of sunshine, the eyes are useless. Lord Shri Krishna, being your primeval Lord, Supreme Truth, is compared to the sun. Without him, all our knowledge is either false or partial. The opposite of the sun is the darkness. Similarly, the opposite of Krishna is Maya, or illusion. Devotees of the Lord can see everything in true perspective due to the light disseminated by Lord Krishna. By the grace of the Lord, the pure devotee cannot be in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, it is necessary that we must always be in the sight of Lord Krishna so that we can see both ourselves and the Lord with his different energies. As we cannot see anything in the dark in the absence of the sun, so also we cannot see anything, including our own self, without the factual presence of the Lord. Without him, all our knowledge is covered by illusion. Mukam karati vachalam bhangam langa tekirim yakti pantamam bande shivunam tinatavinam om agyana timaranda se agyanan jana shirakaya chakshuriritam yana tasana shri garare maha. O Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoi Andakar Jaya Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Odikar. Krishna is like the sun, and Maya is like darkness. Maya is darkness, not like darkness. Maya is darkness. And so whenever Krishna is present, there cannot be darkness. So here the Dwarkavasis are saying, without Krishna, their eyes are blind, like in the dark. Now the Krishna sun has come, so they can see. Actually, this universe is dark, but the sun gives it light. But the sun and moon, they are just the reflection of the bodies, the effulgence of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. They're his, it's his effulgence that's giving us our sight. As he says in Gita, Prabhasmi Shashi Shoyaro, I am the light of the sun and the moon. So when we turn ourselves away from the sun, we see a shadow. We turn ourselves away from Krishna, and we see Maya. It's the darkness. And so the principle of spiritual life is to turn our face back to Krishna. And so Krishna in Gita, he says, yes, you can see me according to my direction. For so how much koteya, you see me in the taste of water. Very easy, just when you taste, you drink water, you say, Prabhupada taught us, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. And we drink water every time. So then we can remember Krishna is the taste of water. As on a lecture, Prabhupada said that, you know, the rascal, the mudha, He will say, Krishna is saying, see me in the taste of water. But they say, ha, nonsense, how can Krishna be the taste? I want to see with my eyes. But you don't have the eyes. Prabhupada says, you have to have operation on your eyes. Take some medicine, wear glasses, take out the cataracts. But they won't. They won't take Krishna's instruction. They want to remain mudha, mudha dusha. So in the 6th canto, 16th chapter, there is a really nice verse which explains different ways to see Krishna as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Aham vai sarvabhutani bhutatma bhutabhavana. So Brahman, Paramatma, and then comes Bhagavan. Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamobe Shashvati Tanu. So all living entities are my expansions and are separate from me. And this is including moving and non-moving living entities. There are non-moving, the trees. And some stones are also living, in case you want to know. And then Super Soul also. Super Soul, you can see him as Super Soul. And then how do we see him as Bhagavan? Very interesting way to see him. He says that I am the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, and I am the Supreme Absolute Truth. And the Prabhupada explains, you know, what does that mean for us? How to see Krishna right now? These two forms of mine, the transcendental sound and eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my eternal forms. So Shabda Brahma is the sound, Param Brahma is the deity. And that's how we see Krishna Bhagavan with our present eyes and our senses, the Nam and the deity, Param Brahma. So Prabhupada often comments that if you want to see Krishna, you have to serve the spiritual master. You have to serve by Vani or Vapu. And one purport is somewhere, I can't remember exactly where, but I have it here. Instead of being eager to see the Lord in some bush of Vrindavan, while at the same time engaging in sense gratification, if one instead sticks to the principle of following the words of the spiritual master, he will see the Supreme Lord without difficulty. So in Vrindavan, there are many like that who say are saying, yes, yes, I had a dream about Krishna last night, and he was doing this and that, and then they're smoking bidis and things. So this is not the way to see Krishna. We follow the instructions. It's not cheap. And when we go to Vrindavan, we should say, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? We can search for Krishna. And that's also another purport here. I have the reference, 3.1.24. Prabhupada says, there are still many devotees of the Lord lingering in Vrindavan in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates. It's not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. So if you're eagerly searching after Krishna, that's as good as seeing Krishna. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees. And this is not different from Krishna. If we remember Krishna, if we're thinking of Krishna, then that's Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada says, this idea of searching for him in Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. So yes, of course we are seeing him face to face here in our temple. And I hope the webcam is working, but I'm not sure. It hasn't been working yet. Then everybody outside can also see him. But yes, for those who are here, we can see Krishna face to face. So the sun has come, we can see. And sound, of course, the sound form is more merciful, Lord Chaitanya says. There's no rules and regulations for chanting Hare Krishna and hearing. Bhagavatam also explains how to hear properly. Nivishta Sutta Goswami drank Bhagavatam through his ears. So Prabhupada says, one should hear with rapt attention from the real person. You can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. So he's in every page of Bhagavatam, including this page that we're reading today. Krishna is coming into Dwarka. That's the scene. And everybody is receiving him. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is mentioned here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. But somehow or other, now even if you're not pure, here's the concession. Prabhupada always helps us out. There's a concession here in case you're not pure in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, and all that. But somehow or other, if someone hears with rapt attention from the right person, at the very beginning, one can assuredly see Lord Krishna in person in the pages of Bhagavatam. Now there you go. You just have to have some ears and be attentive. Okay, now, this verse also talks about separation from Krishna. Now, you may not know it, but this is one very, very important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. I don't know if you caught it in the verse. But we hear the stories of Krishna, how he leaves Vrindavan, and it looks like he doesn't come back. But in this verse, it says he visits Vrindavan. He does go back. This verse is proof. So what does it say here? O Lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan, or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like millions of years. So the Dvarka devotees are feeling separation from Krishna because he's leaving, when he leaves Dwarka to go to Vrindavan. Isn't that interesting? For many years, I was kind of upset because Krishna never went back to Vrindavan. But then I found out that he did go back to Vrindavan when I was researching for teaching the Bhaktivedanta course. So he actually did go back, not only once, but a few times. And so, of course, why does he do that? Because he intensifies the love of his devotees. As he said to the gopis when he left the Rasa dance and came back, he said, the reason I don't immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, is I want to intensify their loving devotion. Then they become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it, he can think of nothing else. It's a separation, viparlamba. These are two ingredients that nourish Krishna's pastimes, meeting and separation. As His Holiness Gaurgavind Maharaj used to say, two banks of a river. Prema flows in the middle, and then we've got separation and meeting on the two sides. So separation nourishes not only the happiness of love, but the experience the lovers have when they meet again. So this is, Sri Rupa Goswami writes, Navina Viparlambena Samboga Pustim Ashnite. Direct contact is not fully appreciated until separation has been experienced. So to increase the taste of rasa, there is separation. The devotees always want to meet Krishna, but to increase their bliss and love, he repeatedly separates from them. This is stated in Navadvipa Mahatmya. So this raises an important question. If the residents of Dwarka, if the residents of Vrindavan love Krishna so much, why don't they just go with him? Why did they just go? You know, why didn't they go to Dwarka? Why didn't they go? Now, why aren't these Dwarka people, when Krishna goes to Vrindavan, why don't they go with him? You know, how come? So the answer is that each dham has its own community of devotees. And there's no restrictions. They can go, and sometimes they do. But generally, they stay in their dham, to which they're intimately connected. So there are different reasons. One is that each dham has its own mood. There's different moods of particular dhams, and they nurture the moods of the devotees who live there. Another reason that Krishna's his associates stay when he leaves is that they're attached to the dham itself also. And that attachment is so strong to the dham, even more than to Krishna himself. In Krishna Sandarbha, Goswami quotes the Brijavasis as saying, we desire to stay in Vrindavan even more than we desire him. And so, yeah, they stay in their dham. Because in Vrindavan, there's the peacock feather, there's the flute. They don't like to see Krishna as a kshatriya. They don't like to see him in that mood, dressed up with his armor and all the elephants and horses and all that in the city. They don't like that. They like to see him in the forest with his flute and his peacock feather and roaming barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan. So they don't follow him. And the Dwarkavasis also don't want to go up to the forest. They like the city. They like Dwarka. They don't want to, you know, what's the flute, you know? They don't get it. So, really. There is evidence that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. So one book that I read by His Holiness Shivaram Swami is called Krishna Sangati. And that means Krishna returns, Krishna appears. The title of this book he took from Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī's Lagu Bhagavatamrita. And there's a verse where he describes Krishna's return to Vrindavan. At the end of the verse it says, Trimasya pratasteṣaṁ sakṣat Krishnena saṅgati. During the Lord's prakat pastimes, the people of Raja were separated from him for 3 months. Lord Krishna then reappeared among them and spent 3 months with them. Did you know that? So Garga Samhita describes how Krishna returned to Vrindavan after killing Kamsa and comforted the Brijavasis for 3 months. Krishnena Sangati. So that means he appeared or he returned. So Rupa Goswami, he gives evidence in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita about this, Krishna going back to Vrindavan. Now in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 times, it records Krishna's promise to return to Vrindavan. The first time is when Akura took him away. He promised the gopis, I will return. The second time was after killing Kamsa. He promised Nanda Maharaj. And the third time was in the letter he sent with Uddhava. He said, I will return. But there's only one verse in Bhagavatam which talks about him visiting Vrindavan, and that's this verse we're reading today. This verse here is saying, Madhuna, and Prabhupada translates it, Vrindavan, Mathura. He went back to Vrindavan. So this is the proof, this verse we're reading today. Isn't that interesting? Krishna did go back to Vrindavan, and he did fulfill his promise. And so Bhagavatam is the highest evidence, the highest praman, highest authority. So Rupa Goswami takes this verse and shows how it proves Krishna repeatedly returned to Vrindavan. And he also quotes, Rupa Goswami quotes from Padma Purana. These verses narrate Krishna's fight with Dantavakra, 10th canto, chapter 78, front of the gates of Mathura. He went to Mathura to kill Dantavakra. And then after that, he visited Vrindavan. Because he was there. So Sanatana Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti in their commentaries confirmed this episode of Krishna's return to Vrindavan. And Jiva Goswami, he wrote the whole Gopal Champu in 9 chapters, describes this return after Dantavakra's death. So we have to accept what the Acharyas say. We should have no doubt that Krishna returned to Vrindavan. So the Padma Purana says that after killing Vidurata, he killed 2, Krishna crossed the Jumna and went to the cowherd village of Nanda, where he honored and consoled his aggrieved parents. They drenched him with tears and embraced him, and then the Lord offered obeisances to the elder cowherd men and gratified all the residents with abundant gifts of clothing, ornaments, and so on. So if you read our book, 10th Canto, Chapter 78, verse 16, there's a purport where it talks about this. Lord Keshava sported continuously with the cowherd women on the Kalindi's charming bank, which was filled with pious trees. Thus the Supreme Lord, assuming the appearance of a cowherd, resided there for 2 months, enjoying the pleasure of intimate pastimes and various moods of loving reciprocation. Then, by Lord Vasudeva's grace, Nanda and all the other residents of that place, together with their children and wives, assumed their eternal spiritual forms, boarded a celestial airplane, and went to Goloka Vrindavan. So, and the demigods were showering flowers. So, we accept, and even without accepting the acharyas, we know that Krishna has qualities, like he's truthful, grateful, gentle, compassionate. He has 64 qualities. Of course, the best one is that he loves his devotees. So Sri Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, quote Uddhava, who reassured Nanda and Yashoda of the truthfulness of their son's words. Krishna has promised he'll come back to Vrindavan after finishing his business in Mathura, so surely he will fulfill his promise. So Jiva Goswami says, well, Krishna must have returned to Raj, otherwise Uddhava would have spoken a lie. In Gita, Krishna says, my devotee never perishes, so how he has to fulfill the devotee's word. So Uddhava said that, yes, he will return, so then Krishna had to return. Now, why did he return? Because he loved his devotees. So I have just here a little bit from Maharaj's book about, based on the commentaries of the Acharyas, how Uddhava brought Krishna back to Vrindavan. So we can hear a little bit about this. Krishna and Uddhava mounted a brilliant gold chariot decorated with flags, garlands, at the fitting moment left Mathura. Once again, Krishna had to reassure his relatives he would return, so that now the Dwarka people. This time, it was Mathura, actually, they weren't in Dwarka. The Mathuravasis were the ones to cry. That's the nature of devotion to Krishna. More often than not, Krishna's devotees cry after him. It is said that as the sun rises, the lotus opens for bumblebees eager to collect nectar, but the divine laws that govern Vrajamandala break such ordinary rules. The 108-petaled lotus of Vrindavan unfolded when Krishna entered Vrindavan. It was his presence, not the sun, that made the Vraja lotus unfurl. So with the arrival of Krishna, Vrindavan blossomed in a way it only could in his presence. Every forest, valley, river, and mountain, fish, insect, bird, and beast received Hari with a full display of their affection. In Krishna's absence, Vrindavan was like a wasteland, but upon his return, it transformed into a pleasure paradise. So, in Krishna's chariot appeared on the horizon, out of curiosity, the cows followed it with their eyes. But when a favorable breeze brought the scent of Krishna's body to their nostrils, they recognized their Gopal and came running. Although their udders were full, the cows moved quickly, their tails and ears raised out of love. And Krishna lovingly called out to them, Ganga, Godavari, Shavali, Kalindi, Tungi, Jamuna, Hansi, Kamala. The cows kept replying to Krishna as they ran, lowing again and again, raising a cloud of dust with their hooves. Again, Krishna called to them, this time with his familiar, he, he. When they heard the call of Krishna, Krishna reserved especially for them, the entire herd of King Nanda's cows escaped the control of the gopas and ran towards the chariot of the familiar visitors. At first, the gopas tried to control their herd, but when they saw two cloud-like figures upon the chariot, the gopas stood still, not daring to hope, yet unable to restrain their thoughts. Is it Krishna? Has Uddhava brought him back? Krishna scratched and caressed the cows with his nectarian hands as he affectionately called their names. He inquired about their welfare and drank their beauty. And they drank his beauty with their eyes, smelled his fragrance with their noses, licked him with their tongues. Krishna said, oh, mothers, have you missed me as much as I have missed you? The cows replied by trying to embrace Krishna with their bodies. As they did so, the chariot rocked back and forth, and Krishna, amused, gazed adoringly at their beauty and charm. Krishna laughed while he cried. There were so no such cows in Mathura. Then Krishna turned his attention to the gopas. He was anxious to meet his friends, who stood at a distance, unable to believe their eyes. With a blissful laugh, Krishna directed the chariot through the swag of affectionate cows, until the gopas found themselves face to face with their dearmost Sakha. One by one, each of the gopas recognized Krishna, held him in their arms, showered him with their tears, and kissed his cheeks. After this exchange of fraternal love, the gopas finally dared to say, "Govinda has returned to Vrindavan." All this time, Uddhava was witnessing the reception given to Krishna by the cows and gopas. On Uddhava's first visit to Vrindavan, he'd seen the Vrijvasis' love and separation from Krishna. Now he saw their love while meeting. The gopas cheered Uddhava as their hero. Uddhava is a saint. Due to his promise, he's brought Krishna back to us. The simple-hearted gopas repeatedly eulogized Uddhava, embraced him, and touched his feet. And Krishna sent Uddhava ahead to inform Nanda and Yashoda of his arrival. Surrounded by cheering gopas and jubilant cows, Krishna slowly made his way through the forest in a triumphant procession. He greeted his old friends, the trees, and cast nectarian smiles to the deer, birds, and peacocks. Whole of Vrindavan recalled a time long ago when every afternoon Krishna and the gopas, herding their cows, would return to Nandagram and a festival of bliss, and now it was happening again. The gopas blew their buffalo horns and played their flutes. The cows mooed and kicked their hind legs in joy. Every gopa and every cow wanted Krishna by their side. And Krishna, being very eager to please his devotees, simultaneously appeared beside each of them, his eyes sparkling with love. At last, the procession arrived at Nandagram, where Nanda and Yashoda waited with pounding hearts. When they finally beheld their son, they saw him even more beautiful than before, because they were looking through eyes anointed with even greater love than before. Krishna's parents were unable to greet him because of their tears. Stunned by ecstasy, they just stood where they were, unable to believe what they were seeing. Only when Krishna fell before his parents and bathed their feet with tears were Nanda and Yashoda able to believe Govinda had returned. Mother Yashoda kissed Krishna's face as a bee kisses a lotus, and she bathed his dust-covered body with her tears and breast milk. Then Nanda held Krishna to his chest and cried, "Oh, my son, oh, my son." Nanaraj would hold Krishna at arm's length to see him, and then again he would embrace him, calling, "Krishna, Krishna." When the Vrijvasis, young and old, saw Krishna in their village, their sufferings evaporated like mist in the morning sun. Then a great festival of crying, embracing, and kissing was held at the foot of Nandishwar Hill. By Krishna's mystic potency, everyone was able to hold them to their breasts, fully satisfied all at the same time. "Has he really come?" asked incredulous Radha, afraid to trust either her friends or her own ears. She looked from one gopi to another. "Has Shyam really returned?" They all nodded. Some time ago, Radha had asked the wind to carry a message to Mathura. The message had said, "Oh, Yadunath, when will my friends come running from all directions to tell me that you have come?" This is Padyavali. Now the time had arrived, and Radhika's friends breathlessly replied, "Sakhi, that dark boy for whom your tears have created a second Jamuna River is again in Vrindavan." Radha finally looked to Lalita, her infallible minister of loving affairs. Her glance asked, "Is it true?" And Lalita's happy smile answered, "Sakhi, it is as they say. Krishna has come. Why do you delay?" After Radharani dressed and left her home, she met Krishna in a kunj. Lalita turned to address Radha, but she saw Radha's ecstasy was preventing her from receiving Krishna. Radha's eyes were so tearful, they were unable to see him. Her arms so stunned, they were unable to embrace him. Her voice so choked, her words could not reach him. And that day, Radha cursed the ecstatic happiness that interfered with her meeting Krishna. Finally, with great effort, Radha composed herself and offered Krishna a sitting place. Krishna at once accepted Radha's summons and sat meekly by her side. The gopi's joy was boundless. Once again, Radha and Krishna were together in a riverside kunj. The happiness they felt seeing Radha happy far exceeded any other happiness, including their own pleasure at being with Krishna. In Mathura, Krishna had felt like a lost soul in a desert. But now, upon seeing Radhika, that lost soul had finally stumbled into a lush oasis full of nectarian, thirst-quenching water. Now he was satisfied. Now he was happy. Speechless, Radha also gazed at Krishna. She was like a yogi who becomes free from all distress and lamentation upon attaining a vision of the Lord. For the first time since Krishna departed, Radhika smiled. So there you go. Krishna came back to Vrindavan as this verse says, and this was the first time he came, Uddhava brought him, and he came other times also. So we hear about meeting after separation is more blissful than constant association. So today's verse is about meeting. It's also about separation. And we heard about the Dwarkavasis, we heard about the Brijbasis. So Krishna did return to Vrindavan, as this verse states and as the Acharyas confirm. So I'll stop here. If there's any comments or questions, ask. Yes.
Thank you for the nice class. I keep hearing that in different readings that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but now you're saying that he leaves and he comes back.
Right, he never leaves Vrindavan.
Hmm?
Yes.
Is that, he never leaves Vrindavan?
That's also true.
Oh.
He never left Vrindavan, and he also left and came back. Yes.
Right. So it's like a redundant, but actually no, it's like a heavy, forceful.
Right.
Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
They never take Krishna outside Vrindavan because he never put one step outside Vrindavan.
Right. He never left.
Yeah.
He never left.
Do you know anything about the details when Akura came and picked up Krishna and Balaram, that there was that pastime at the river, that Krishna or Akura went bathed in the river or something, and he saw that was part of that pastime of him never leaving, but appeared.
Yes, it's in Krishna book in
10th canto, 41 chapter.
I have to read that.
Yeah, just read Krishna book. Krishna, original Supreme Personality, Swayam Bhagavan never left Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan after his birth, when he fell in the Jamuna, that Dwarka, the Mathura Vrindavan, stayed there, and when he came out of Jamuna, the original Vrindavan came out. And so now again, when he left, the real the Swayam Rupa Krishna stayed, and the Dwarka, the Vasudeva Krishna, went to Mathura. Now he's coming back, it's the same. As the Vasudeva came out, and then the Swayam Krishna came to Vrindavan. And then he stayed there but not in a visible form. He stayed in the hearts, which are also Vrindavan. The hearts are Vrindavan. The gopis' hearts were Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya, he in the mood of Radharani, he said, "My mind is Vrindavan. My mind is Vrindavan." Mm-hmm. So in that sense, he never leaves. He actually never leaves. But he does leave and come back in the prakat, as it seems. It looks like. He did go and come. Mm. Prakat pastimes.
But I think every sambho to sustain the separation must take place.
Yes, right.
Separation keeps the love alive.
Yeah, right.
Because I just found Madhulila chapter 13.154 where Prabhupada translates, "You are my most dear." This is Krishna speaking to Radharani. "And I know that in my absence you cannot live for a moment. Just to keep you living, I worship Lord Narayan. By his merciful potency, I come to Vrindavan every day, to enjoy pastime with you. I then return to Dwarka Dham. Thus you can always feel my presence there in Vrindavan."
Yeah, it's explained that every night they would dream of Krishna and have pastimes. But it wasn't a dream. He actually came.
Yes.
But they thought, we're just dreaming. We're just dreaming. And actually, that when he came, when Uddhava brought the message, that was part of the message that we didn't hear in Bhagavatam, was that I come every night. And you think you're dreaming.
Yes, Begabachi? No, somebody over there has it? Oh. Okay, anybody? Well, I didn't see.
Yeah, I was just thinking of Prem Sarovara being an example to substantiate Prana Govinda's. Radharani is sitting right with Krishna.
Right.
But when Madhu Mangal came and said, oh, I've chased the Madhu away, and she was thinking, Krishna's gone. She's sitting in his lap and starts crying so much that it makes a whole kund, because the separation feeling has to be there.
Okay, did you have a... Okay, next one is here. What's your name?
Abhigya.
Abhigya. Abhigya.
Thank you, Mataji. I have a few silly questions.
Three?
Silly questions. Stupid questions.
Oh, silly.
Yeah.
And oh, that's better than three.
Yeah. Yeah, actually I have three questions also.
Two.
So first one is, on the Brahma iti, Paramatma iti and Bhagwan iti. So when we say Bhagwan iti, which is Sachidanand Vigraha, the form we pray, so if we not in human form, or suppose, you know, on other planet, where living species or intelligent species are not in human form, are they praying Krishna in different form where he doesn't have, you know, human form or something? What form do they pray?
Well, he actually, there was one place I read that he comes in all the species. All the species of, there's 8,400,000. So that many forms. It's in Bhagavatam, yeah. He comes in 8,400,000, so there's Matsya for the fish, there's Kurma for the tortoise, you know, there's Raha for the hogs, there's Hanuman for the monkeys, I mean, because the devotees are also his Shaktivesh avatars. And I remember when I was teaching Bhagavatam, I was thinking about George Harrison, incarnation among the hippies. he really was bringing the hippies, making devotees.
Yeah, hippie species.
Yeah, it's a different species, yeah, maybe. Hippies. Okay, somebody...
Second, I have, two
oh,
more
second,
questions.
Second, okay.
Yeah. On the sense gratification, so when we say, you know, Krishna is enjoying through us, so if we are having pleasure with sense gratification and thinking that Krishna is taking pleasure through us, is it still sense gratification?
That's not a good way to think. I don't think that Krishna is enjoying through our sense gratification.
No,
I mean, it's
yeah, okay.
It's only Ishkan language.
Oh, Ishkan language.
I mean, the senses, Krishna's senses.
Yeah.
Apendiya Pitvanja, but Krishna Pitija. That's also sense gratification.
Mm.
But we don't stay in that.
Pleasing
Krishna's senses.
Yeah, pleasing Krishna's senses, then Krishna enjoys. Like if we offer him food, if we offer, you know, bhoga, then Krishna is enjoying.
But Krishna is enjoying. It's a gratification.
Yeah, of course he's enjoying. But not if we go out and drink liquor. I don't think that is enjoying for... This is what I'm talking about. If we go out and do nonsense, that doesn't mean Krishna is enjoying. But if we do kirtan, Krishna is enjoying that. Prabhupada has many times say when we chant Krishna's name, he's happy, he enjoys to hear us chanting. Yeah, there's spiritually, Krishna is enjoying through us. But materially, when we do some nonsense, then that's not pleasure, that's not happiness for Krishna.
But isn't everything is coming from Krishna? So even bad things are also coming from Krishna.
That's what I thought your question was. No.
Maya is coming from Krishna, but that does, it's the darkness. It's covering Krishna. So if you want to, you know, enjoy in Maya, then that's will be covering Krishna, so you can't see Krishna. That will be the effect of it. It's not Krishna that doesn't like that. No.
Okay. I have one more question, Madhavi. The last one.
Okay, this is the last.
Yes. On the Viplambha Seva, so on the separation feeling, if somebody is with Krishna all the time, you know, he is in his thoughts with Krishna, where is the question come, how this question comes from, you know, separation? Why do people have this Viplambha Seva when, you know, he is with Krishna all the time? You know, where is that?
Why do we have people?
Yeah, why are...
Because our perception, when we look at this world, we don't see Krishna. We don't have relationship with Krishna. We forget Krishna. That's the nature of a material world. And most people don't even have Viplambha because they don't have any idea of Krishna. They don't suffer Viplambha. They suffer. But it's not Viplambha from Krishna. Or else, although the devotee may see it that way, they're suffering because they're separated from Krishna. We may see it that way, but they don't. Yeah.
So one more thing about the Prem Sarovar in Vrindavan. Radha and Krishna were together, but they thought they were separated, so they started crying.
Yeah.
And that their tears filled the kund.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and Pundarik and my daughter went there, and we bathed in Prem Sarovar. And it was a hot day, and it was very cold, you know, the kund. It was very, so when we came out, we were very, a special feeling, even though, you know, we may not be so advanced. I had a special feeling, and ever since then, this is a long time ago, because Radha and Krishna were crying in separation, even though they were together. Actually, ever since then, I've been crying. Hi, Bo.
Bhagavati.
Hare Krishna. That was such a wonderful class. Thank you so much. Madan Gopal and I, we were reading a couple verses, including this one, and he made a point, I'll just say it, but it was such a nice point. In one of the sentences in the purport, Prabhupada said something like, without being connected to Krishna, like the sun, we can't see without the sun, so without a connection to Krishna, everything is a partial or a false. Everything we see is partial or false. And he said, it's either fake news or a half-truth. You know, and it was like, yeah, all of us, we need to, and we need to help others reconnect everything to Krishna.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more? On what?
The question on online? Others?
Okay.
Yeah, this is from Mother Madhumati, Mother Narayani. Why is it all these years we have been thinking that Krishna never went back to Vrindavan till they met in Kurukshetra? Did Prabhupada indicate that?
I never heard Prabhupada say that Krishna came back to Vrindavan. I mean, I haven't seen it in folio, I haven't seen it in Vedabase. I only found out when I started teaching 10th canto, and I was researching, and then I read Shivaram Swami Maharaj's book, and in there, it's called Krishna Sangati, Krishna Returns. And it's all about Krishna returning to Vrindavan, and then I said, oh wow. All my years I've been thinking he never returned. And so, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I never heard Prabhupada say that he returned. So all I have heard is from the Acharyas. And this verse, actually, it could kind of, I think I was wondering, you know, why it says here that Krishna goes to Vrindavan. Maybe I wondered sometimes, but I never thought about it until I started researching.
Well, the next one is basically repeating, like, the point was already made that when the Lord was leaving for his own abode, Lord, you know, someone asked, how will I live without you? And the Lord told her that I'll come to see you every day, every morning and evening. So this is a promise the Lord made that I'll be coming daily. Yeah. There's another question. Can we move further? Can we scroll? Madhumati asks another. Did Srila Prabhupada say he didn't? If you use the other scroll. Yeah. Can you scroll back up here? No. Yeah. So I think she's asking basically, did Prabhupada say, yeah, so you have to scroll this bar here. Yeah. Oh, that's as far as it goes. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so she's just asking if Srila Prabhupada ever said that Krishna didn't return to Vrindavan, but it doesn't
Yeah, he didn't say he didn't return, he didn't say he returned, he didn't say either way. We just have our Krishna book, where Krishna left Mathura, and that's what we know, and that's what I knew for so many years too. And
I just want to make a comment. Is that okay? Now about this confusion that always seems to pop up, that if Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, which is that Krishna that leaves? Why do we call him Krishna? Who is this Krishna, right? On one hand, he doesn't leave, on the other hand, he's leaving. You know, and then so I think, well, oh. I just wanted to comment on that, is that okay? Yeah. So, there is, and a lot of these things also, is Krishna the same as Lord Ram? Is he not? Is Narasimhadev the same as, I mean, he's, you know, Keshava Dritta Narahari Rupa, is that Keshava? Is it not? You know, so I heard a nice clear explanation that there's two levels of understanding always. One is called Tattva Vichar, and the other is called Rasa Vichar. So two platforms of conversation. So the platform of tattva, Krishna is Ram, Ram is Narasimha, like that. So it's Vishnu tattva. But in terms of rasa, Krishna in Vrindavan is different from Krishna in Dwarka, is different from Krishna anywhere else, because the rasa is different, the flow is different. And the analogy is that the Supreme Court justice in his house is different, although he's the same person. So then a lot of this conflation and confusion just arises when we mix those two platforms together. Rasa and tattva. Yeah.
I just want to say, the original Krishna stays in Vrindavan.
Yes.
But the expansion leaves and goes to Dwarka.
Yeah.
Or Mathura.
Yeah. The original Krishna stays.
Yeah, I'm just adding. I mean, that's the way. Mm. The simple.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay, Raghavati had something, and then we should finish. This is the last comment.
Okay, it was actually kind of a question on this topic that we just said, you said a little earlier. Yes, he never leaves. And yes, he leaves and comes back. But is it possible that also, yes, he leaves and comes back. You said those two are both. So my question is, can it also be, yes, he leaves and never comes back? Because definitely over the years I've heard there's explanations, I'm sure they're from the Acharyas, that he was considering the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, were so torn apart by my leaving and coming back just for the cow herding or from the rasa dance. If I go back, they'll always have this intense fear that I may leave again, and I can't do that, it would kill them.
Right.
So can it be yes and yes and yes?
Yes. Yeah, I have also heard Radharani was cursed to be away from Krishna for 100 years. Ooh. That's another thing the Acharya said. So, that's from?
That is
Gargasamita. Okay.
Yeah, so, yes. Yeah, just pray for revelation that you'll be able to, reconcile these differences. And one day you will know what happened when you go there. When you go, because our next, when you leave to go back to Godhead, first birth will be in where Krishna is performing his pastimes, and you're going to find out actually what Krishna does. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna. No, I'm sorry.